Today I want to talk about remembering. You know, for most people, when we celebrate Memorial Day, we think of it as, well, it's a day off of work. We think of it as a long three-day weekend, and everybody enjoys the three-day weekends. We think about it as maybe the unofficial start of summer. I know back home, I guess it's the same way here. Back home, at our parks, that is the first day the swimming pools open, the public swimming pools, and the summer activities begin on Memorial Day. We think about a cookout. We think about maybe a day with nature, or maybe a day on the beach. A day to relax, a day to enjoy, because, as I said to begin with, it's a day off. That's what most of us think about. But you know, to those families who have lost a loved one in a war, this day means much, much more to them. On the Memorial Day weekend, we honor those who have served for us, who have fought for our country, and who have died for our country. And today I want to talk about that just a little bit. Today I want us to look at three things that I feel that we need to think about because of who we are as God's children, because of who we are as Americans, and who we are as individual people who enjoy freedom in this world. The first thing I would like for us to remember is all of the soldiers, the sailors, the airmen who have fought for our country, and especially those who have given the supreme sacrifice of their lives for our freedom. You know, it just really breaks my heart, and it really stirs me to anger when I hear Americans bashing America. And you'll be able to turn the TV on today and tomorrow, and you will see people who are Americans who have been given these freedoms. And they will be burning the flag. And they will be speaking out against our government. They will be speaking out against our country. But you know, we had people to fight and die to give them that right. But I look at this as a slap in the face for every man and every woman who has ever served in our armed forces, especially those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. And I know some of you have history books in the history of your family. Well, I happen to have a history book that tells us the history of the Hamner family. And I want to tell you this morning that I have ancestors in my past, in the Hamner family, who has stood and fought for this country. For the Revolution, a man by the name of Edward Hamner was one who signed Virginia's version of the Declaration of Independence. Every state had to write their own. Thomas Jefferson, of course, wrote the main one that was sent to England, but he also wrote the one for Virginia. And my great-great-great-own-back Edward Hamner signature is next to his. You can Google this document and you will see the name E. Hamner. The spelling of the name is different, but the bloodline is the same. Two of my ancestors, Samuel and Thomas W. Hamner, fought for the Confederacy. They were a part of the 43rd Regiment of the Alabama Infantry. Even though the South lost the war, and even though we question who was right and who was wrong, they were Americans just the same. Three of my uncles served in World War II. I had an uncle by the name of Otis, who was a Marine, who was actually in Tokyo Bay when the signing was made on the USS Missouri that ended the war with Japan. I had another uncle, my Uncle Bruce, that fought in Africa, in Italy, Germany. He earned 11 combat decorations, including two Bronze Stars of Valor, a Silver Star of Gallantry in Action, and many other decorations, including two Purple Hearts. I honor my family members today And I do hope that you honor your family members as well for what they did in allowing you to be here today and doing what you do today in worshiping our God. And I challenge each of us today to remember that it was the soldier, and I use the term soldier generically for all of those who are in the military. It is the soldier, not the theologian, who gave you and me the freedom of religion. It was the soldier, not the reporter, that secured for us the freedom of the press. It was the soldier and not the protester that secured our freedom to demonstrate and to be heard. It was the soldier, not the judge and not the lawyer, that guarantees us the right to a fair trial in this land. And it is the soldier whose flag, drape, casket has secured the freedoms that you and I enjoy today. And we need to remember their sacrifice and their work. From the Revolutionary War to our war in Afghanistan, some 1.2 million soldiers, sailors, and airmen have given their lives so that you and I can live the way that we live today. We have many women here this morning who have given of themselves to protect our country. And I would like at this time to ask anyone here who is a veteran or who is now actively a part of our military armed forces, our Army, our Navy, our Air Force, our Marines, our Coast Guard, or Special Forces, if you would please stand and be recognized for the work that you have done in securing our country. Please stand. We thank you. We thank you for your service. Please be seated. The second thing that I think we need to remember is for those who have died for their faith. We think about those who give their lives for different reasons, different things. We have many people who have given their lives for many reasons. But I want to think about those for just a moment who have given their lives so that you and I enjoy the faith that we have today in Jesus Christ. You know, we tend to be a forgetful people, don't we? We all forget things in one way or the other. And God knew this, and that's the reason that God did certain things to help us remember how life and how religion and how godliness began. He gave us the rainbow to remind us that he will never destroy the earth by water again. He gave the Jewish people the Passover feast to help them remember that he delivered them from Egyptian bondage. As we read earlier from Joshua chapter 4, the Jews were given the 12 stones to remember the miracle that God had performed there. Do you remember the Ark of the Covenant? On the inside of the Ark of the Covenant, God instructed Moses to place three things, memorials for remembrance. The manna, which was a reminder of God's provision for the children of Israel in the wilderness. The stone tablets that represented the Ten Commandments were a reminder of God's precepts, his law, his commandments for his people. And Aaron's rod, which is to remind us of God's priesthood. And of course, in the New Testament, the memorial that we have that is meaningful to us as Christians is the Lord's Supper. The bread, which represents the body of Christ, which hung on the cross. And the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of Christ, which was shed on the cross. These are all memorials. Things that will help us to remember certain events that is important in your life. And we need to think about this so that we will understand just how important God is how important God's plan is for us. We need to remember the faith of other people, Christian martyrs. Remember the faith of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. We need to remember the faith of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle James, who were both beheaded for their preaching of the gospel. We need to remember the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Philip, who were both crucified for their faith. We need to remember the Apostle Thomas, who was speared in India to death. We need to remember the faith of Luke, of John Mark, of Timothy, of Barnabas, of Simon, all who died very cruel deaths because of their faith and their love for Jesus Christ. We need to think about the thousands upon thousands of Christians who have given their lives in spreading the word of our Lord to our world. Those who were brutally tortured and those who were executed for their faith, their love for their God. The third thing I want us to remember is to remember our Savior. Our Savior who died for our sins, and our Savior who made it possible for us to have future glory as citizens in heaven. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but you know, there are a lot of similarities between Jesus and a soldier and what a soldier does for his country. Just like the soldier, Jesus left home. Jesus left heaven and came to earth. You know, a soldier, he gives up the comforts of home and goes off to the foreign land to fight in a war or maybe to earn a station there. I don't know if you have ever gone on the internet and Googled a soldier's first day in the military. If you've never done this, get on your computer and Google the soldier's first day in boot camp. I watched this in preparing for this lesson, and let me tell you something. There is a lot to be said for those who go through boot camp. We had a few already standing up here, and you saw them standing, and they've all gone through it. And I'm going to tell you, it's almost inhumane what they do to these people on their first day. There is a lot involved. There is no comforts of home. In fact, they take everything that you have that will remind you of home away from you. It's a very difficult thing. You know, Jesus left a place far better than your home and mine to serve us, to work for us, to give his life for us. He left the bliss of heaven and came here to fight the greatest fight that has ever been fought or that ever will be fought. And that is the fight against sin. That you and I could never win alone. But with Jesus, we can win this fight. Just like the soldier, Jesus laid aside his heavenly apparel. You know, when a soldier enters the military, he exchanges his clothes, even the ones he has on his back, for ones that they will give him that he has to wear. You know, I never will forget, and I was about, maybe 11 or 12 at the time, when my first cousin was drafted and sent to Vietnam. And, you know, everybody hated to see him go, and everybody was wishing him well. And the families all got together to come to see him off. And we bought for him a little care package to take with him. And it was just the cutest little briefcase type thing. And it had things like shaving cream and razors and deodorant. And, you know, all the little things you give people when they travel. About 2 weeks later, they received it back. They wouldn't let him keep it. They even made him give up his wedding ring. I don't know if they do that still or not, but he had to send home his wedding ring. Isn't that sad? You give up everything for a cause. Christ put aside heavenly glory for you and me. He put aside that white robe, that symbol of purity, that symbol of goodness. And He put on us when He came here. Like the soldier, Jesus lived a life of loneliness and fear. You know, when a soldier goes off to war, he feels the terrible loneliness of being away from family, being away from friends, and experiences some of the greatest fear, pain, tragedy that any human could ever experience. I had a wonderful friend and mentor growing up in my hometown. His name was Malin Wilson. Y'all may have heard me mention him from time to time because he had a tremendous influence in my life growing up. He tells a story of being in, I think this was in France during World War II. He was in a little bombed out town, and one night, and he was by himself in a bombed out building, sitting by candlelight in an old house, and he was sitting at a table. It was a quiet, eerie evening. The only sound was the sound of cannon and gunfire nearby. And he was sitting at this table and he was trying to write a letter home. And he kept noticing that the candle would flicker and it would shudder when it flickers. And his table would shake. And the first thing he thought of, well, it must be from the gunfire that's nearby. But then he took inventory of himself and realized that it was him. He was so afraid that his knees were knocking together. And it was his knees shaking the table and shuddering the candle. Imagine being in a place like that, where you live like that, and you're afraid that you're not going to be able to take your next breath. Jesus also experienced a terrible loneliness. Isaiah 53 verse 3 tells us that He was despised and rejected by men, man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. And fear? Go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, where sweat fell from His face as if it were drops of blood, where He begged the Father, "Father, if there is any other way, if there is something else that we can do to stop this, let's stop it. Let's do something different." And it's just like the soldier as he is about to step foot on the shore. And he hears the gunfire and he sees the clouds of dust all around him. "God, if there's any other way, if there's any other thing that we can do." But then Jesus said something else. "Not my will, but thine be done." You know, regardless of what we go through in life, regardless of how difficult life is, if we will end our fears with those three words, "Thy will." God, do it Your way. God, You know what I'm asking. You know what I need. You know what I want. But God, do it Your way. Because as children of God, we should understand that God's way will always be best for us, whether we realize it or not. And then like the soldier, Jesus laid down His life as a sacrifice for us. You know, I've often wondered, what is it that motivates a man or a woman to become a soldier? I've often wondered what would cause someone to risk their lives and sacrifice everything for the lives of someone else. Is it because of their belief in a cause that is much greater than they are? You know, Christ believed in the greatest cause of all, the salvation of mankind, the salvation of His own creation, if you will. And it was for that reason that he was willing to sacrifice his very life so that you and I can live. And not just live here. And not just live free as we in America do. But so that we can live forever. You see, my friends, every Lord's Day needs to be a memorial day. Because we need to think back at what a loving God has done for us and what a loving Son has sacrificed for us. And every time that you and I come around the Lord's table, we need to remember the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the return of Jesus Christ. Every time you partake of the bread, every time you drink the cup, every time you raise your voice in song, every time you bow your head in prayer, every time we come together here, remember. Remember what God has done for you. My friends, Jesus gave his life for you. What have you given for him? If you haven't given your life to him, you can do that today. But it takes faith. You have to have faith to give your life to the Lord who gave his life for you. But you know, faith is only the beginning. It also takes change. It takes a change of heart. It takes a change of life. It takes a repenting of sins, a turning away from the ways of the world, and turning toward God in life. It takes acknowledgement, a confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. And it takes cleansing. It takes being washed in the blood of the Lamb. As Ananias told Saul of Tarsus on that night, Acts 22:16, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. These gives you freedom. These changes gives you an allegiance to something far greater than you will ever be alone. But it makes you a part of something that can never fall. And Christian friend, have you lived this life of change? Or have you let things get in your way? Things that have maybe separated you from your God. If so, as James tells us in James 5 and verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. When we think about memorials, Christ should be the first thing to come to mind. What he did for you, what he is doing for you now, and what he will do for you when this life is over. Today, if your life is not what it should be, we invite you to make whatever change you need, either by becoming a child of God or rededicating your life as a child of God. And do it now while we stand and sing.